You're listening to the League of Ordinary Gentlemen podcast with your hosts, Brent and Angelo. This is episode number 106 of your favorite podcast and mine, The Contenders. Angelo, how are you this week?
Doing really well, Brent, as we will see shortly when we get to one of our segments, doing better than anyone else in the pool. But how are you doing? Or more importantly, how is your laptop and your mic doing? We've had some technical issues here, shooting a little bit later than usual.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it's frustrating. What a frustrating start for that. So, I have.
Are you going to take that out on anyone today?
I will. Yes. Yeah. There are going to be a lot of on calls for one individual tomorrow. Nice. Guaranteed.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to go to the backup computer and I'm still on my primary mic here, but you know, that'll crap out as well. I'm sure as well too, you know?
Nice. Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. You're going to enjoy this because you are a key part of this podcast today. We are focusing on the contenders today. Those of us in the bottom eight, we might not hear our name a whole lot at the main topic time, but that's okay. So we're going to look at your team. We're going to look at Mike's team and then obviously Nick and Robin's team. And we're going to focus on, where they really have their strengths, where they're vulnerable and where we might see some key matchups heading into the final weeks of the pool. We'll identify some managers who can play the role of spoiler as well. Yeah. So I think that'll be really good. It's going to be a little bit more of a live. I tried two or three times to update this and it's the standings and the categories are changing so quickly that, we're just probably just going to go over to the League Clubhouse homepage and take a peek as we're doing this. Before we do that, winners, losers, who's hot, who's not. I'm going to suggest we actually pretty much skim over League news because we're just going to be dealing with that in our main topic. And then let's start with some NHL news.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Torts is at it again benching Couturier for two games. I don't know what your thoughts about that is, and I think it sends a very clear message. It's definitely not out of character for him, but here he goes again.
What's really bizarre is that they named him. It's not like this is a long time captain. They named him captain, just like a month ago or so. So yeah. For him to be benched for two games, I personally love John Tortorella. I think he's, we have a lot of bland hockey personalities. He is not one of them, and he is also unafraid to do anything. So this certainly falls under his umbrella of what he's done in the past. But what a strange message to be sending, sitting your newly crowned captain for a few games. I'm sure in the offseason that relationship could become interesting, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Well, I mean, this is the other side of it too. Like, he expects a lot from his players. That's, that has been his, reputation, ever since he started coaching in the NHL. I don't really see this as outside of his character. He's not there to make friends. He's definitely not there to make friends with the players. He expects a lot out of them. And if he's not saying something, he's going to address it. So, I mean, I think we have a lot of coaches, as you said before, that are not only flat in their personalities, but, they wait too long to actually do something, or they're afraid to do something in that sense when that reputation is not on Tortorella at all. Who would be, on a side note, who would be the Tortorella of the League?
I was just about to ask you the same question. And I've got a couple of candidates. I'm going to go Holdsy first because Holdsy has traded his entire roster now, I believe, from the draft.
Yeah, he has no loyalty to anybody.
Very close. So he does not care. He does not care if your name is Marner or if your name is Forsberg or whatever your name is. If you're not producing for him, he's shipping you out. So I'm putting Holdsy.
So that's on the quality of loyalty. But what about overall temperament and attitude?
Ooh, temperament and attitude.
So loyalty. I would agree with you with Holdsy on loyalty. But what about, because Tortorella has a short fuse. Who has a short fuse in the league?
Hold on. You guess who this manager is. I'm just going to go to my text here.
Yeah, you're gonna.
Yep, just one sec.
Preemptively, say that, We're calling you out for having a short fuse.
Here we go. I hate goalies. This is the text. Goalies F me every year. I've had Vasi 3 times. He's been terrible each year. Then he lists a whole bunch of goalies. I'm -4. He F'd me. It just goes on and on a rant of anger, kind of
like when
Torts was being interviewed by what's his name from the New York Post there. I'm gonna say Mike currently has a Torts vibe going on. I would say he's losing it. Mike is completely losing it right now.
Yeah, this is good. So that may be a future award down the road for the league is the Tortorella Award, when a manager just loses their marbles, because it can happen to all of us, and I think it actually has happened to all of us at some level. So the Torts Award is out there. We'll get that one going for sure. Listen, it's not the only. We'll get to the Capitals here in a minute, but it's not the only coach that has, you know, laid down the law. And you look at Brunet and in Nashville and his measures there to right the ship. And it's kind of like on a tort level, isn't it?
Yeah. So I don't know if everyone knows this, but there was a big team bonding exercise that was planned for Vegas, where the entire team was going to see U2 at the Sphere. It was a big trip that was planned, and Nashville was not playing well. So Andrew Brunette canceled the concert, and they flew back to Nashville. So the team actually wasn't allowed to go watch that concert, which caused a few ripples at the time. And then, you know, the Predators have done nothing but go on a 17-game point streak since then. So they are by far the hottest team in the NHL. They are not only in
shutout a wild
card,
too.
Yeah, they're not only in a wild card spot, they've virtually guaranteed a place in the playoffs now, which makes me think, was there some sort of Bono type curse on Nashville before this move was made?
Yeah, probably. excuse me. I would have to agree with you on that one. I just like the move. It's just, it's not, you know, it's not all roses and sunshine when you're losing here. So decisions have to be made, and the ship has to be righted here. And I like what Brunette did there. That's a good call. It really helps me too, because I get wins out of my goaltending and a shutout last night. So
that's true. Now I don't know if this is coincidental, but Doug texted me about the same time as this happened, and he had started listening to U2 again, and has been listening to him a lot, and we've seen what happened to him in the standings. So could there be a correlation between U2 and not only the Lugue but NHL performance? This is something we should keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think so. There may be some level of connection, and I think you might be right on that for sure. So,
hey, when's the last time you listened to a U2 song, like a new U2 song, and you said that's really good?
It's been a while. Listen, my wife enjoys U2. She likes the U2 channel on XM. So I mean, I'm not the biggest U2 fan, but I would have gone to that Sphere concert for sure. That would have been kind of a neat experience. It looked kind of neat. So,
well, we have a mutual friend and acquaintance who went, and he said it was amazing.
Oh really?
Yeah, Doogie went. He said it was awesome.
Oh, he said it was great. Yeah.
So one of the things I like that you infuse into the pool is how you like to kind of drop little Easter eggs of how rich you are, like, you know, the XM channel.
you
can afford that. So you didn't fall for the after your trial period. You're not paying $17.99, are you?
No, I call and say I'm not paying for it. I've been subscribing since that came into Canada. So I call and saying I'll cancel, and then they give me some absurdly low monthly price, like dollars, and I'm like, fine.
Yep. And as rich people like you say, that's just petty.
Let's just say it's less than one of your trips to Starbucks. Let's just say that. This doesn't take much because it's Starbucks.
I'm actually going this afternoon. I need to get away from my children to get some work done, and I'm going to enjoy some Starbucks, who are our official sponsor today. So we'd like to thank Starbucks.
So whatever you pay there, minus $20 from your bill, probably more. And then you don't even have my monthly cost on my XM. So
wow.
I negotiate. Right. I'm a negotiator. So this is, again, it comes back to Doug is probably just loving this segment right now. Yeah. I'm a negotiator. And you could tell by the trades that I do in the Lug, I get value.
I would say based on this little story on XM, added to the fact that you got Matthews and McDavid from Mike for Ilya Samsonov, then I have to actually give you credit. You are not only the greatest modern day manager in the league, you are also our best negotiator.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I'm okay. Yeah, I should be like a crisis negotiator, a hostage negotiator, or something like that. I would, you know.
Well, the United Nations has some situations that maybe they just need to parachute you in. Say, listen, maybe. Guys, listen. Listen, I've been through this with XFM. I've been through this with I was in the pool. Although, yeah. You know, we can get some lasting peace here.
I think so. I mean, yeah, Nobel Peace Prize is on my way. So, hey, let's go back actually to because this player is for me like it just when a suspension comes across the wire, you know, and this player's name's attached to it, it's never a surprise. It always seems like he's perpetually suspended, or he's suspended for a like, and every suspension, sorry, is like a significant amount of time. You know, Tom Wilson, he's at it again, slashing a player in the face, 6-game suspension. Like, at what point does the NHL actually get, I mean, serious? I don't know if 6 games is serious enough for this guy, but he's just a habitual and perpetual offender.
Well, and like immediately after he slashed the player in the face, he looked remorseful and seemed to check on the player to make sure he was okay. But that's kind of beside the point. You slashed a guy in the face.
Yeah.
Like in the moment you decided you deliberately swung your stick, whether you tried to hit him in the shins or on the arm, you made a deliberate attempt to swing your stick at him. And Tom Wilson is somebody who does it over and over and over again. And he's also not good at hockey anymore. So I don't know. Maybe someone's going to fill him at some point. And he's just going to go away. Who knows? But yeah, so Tom Wilson continues to be the rat that he has been throughout his career. I don't even know the guy he slashed with, some rando guy from Toronto, but that doesn't matter. I mean, seriously, that guy's got to go. I would like Tom Wilson to be on John Tortorella's team.
Yeah, that would be actually excellent. Yeah.
So let's one last little quick news thing here.
Yeah, what's going on in Calgary? My goodness.
Yeah, so Markstrom was rumored to be out they said he would return this season, but the assumption was he would be out for an extended period of time. But then their backup goalie ends up being out for the season, Dan Vladar. And lo and behold, Markstrom's in the net last night. So I'm thinking the relationship is completely fractured in Calgary. He basically said, I'm out, like put me on the injured list. I pulled a hammy or something. And then they had no choice but to bring him back because Vladar left. So he's going to play out the season. I think he's going to George Costanza it, find any way he possibly can to get out. He might come onto the ice in a bodysuit. Bodysuit man.
Or in the team's jersey that he wishes to be traded to.
Yeah, he's going to come out in a New Jersey Devils jersey.
Yeah.
What are other ways he could get fired? So the New Jersey one, wearing a bodysuit.
Yeah.
What if he came out wearing the opposite side blocker and gloves so he played the other way?
Yeah, absolutely. That would be fantastic. Yeah.
I think, there are many ways that Markstrom can find his way. I think the best way is if Calgary somehow made a run and they're like tied or 1 point behind the wild card on the last day and the game is tied late in the game and Markstrom just turns around and shoots the puck into his own net.
I think there's got to be something there. I think you're right. There's got to be something here. I was shocked that he wasn't dealt with at the deadline. I really thought, you know, based upon what he had said to the media, that he was, you know, made it very clear he didn't like how the Flames had dealt with everything with him. He wanted out, and I was kind of shocked that he was, you know, he wasn't traded. And then the whole, you know, injury thing and then return thing here. I like, again, it's just bizarro. I honestly don't think you'll see him come October. I don't know what you think. And obviously that has ramifications for the Lug for sure. Great goaltender, You know, and here we are. He could be shipped in the offseason, but we shall see.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other ways he might find his way out of Calgary. What if he wore a Greenpeace t-shirt?
Oh, that'd be or moves to Edmonton and has to commute.
That's a good one too.
Yep, just moves to Edmonton and just, you know, everything's Oilers. Yeah,
for him. Or if he puts a when he's driving to the arena in Calgary, he has one of those, you know, those flags that became really popular where you could support your team and stuff. You'd put it on your window, like,
oh yeah.
If you got a Liberal, oh, yeah, red one with a Liberal logo,
like instead of the lovely, you know, messages that we usually see on pickup trucks regarding Trudeau, it's a positive one about Trudeau. Like,
do they come? I don't have a truck, but do you get a sticker? Is that like an option that you?
I think when you when you go to the dealership, you get a choice if it's in Tory blue, or if it's in like a different color like black or something like that.
And they'll install it for you right at the dealership.
Yeah, right at the dealership, they'll put it on for you. And I'm also wondering if he, you know, another way he could do that if he buys a Prius.
Oh yeah, those are all ways that he can get himself out of. He's going to totally Costanza himself out of Calgary for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Listen, Luke News is next, but I'm just going to propose, the 18th happened last Monday. Was very quiet because we saw so many deals and we've already talked about those deals. I'm going to propose we don't talk about Luke News because the really big news is really what our main topic is. And that is we're seeing Nick now really making a challenge for first place.
I agree. It's all about right now you're banging on here, Angela. And right now it's all about, the instability that there is at the top. And we've seen this bounce back and forth, throughout the week. It's been really fun and exciting to watch. I'm sure, you know, two managers in particular are biting their nails right down to nothing here, but it's in, so we'll skip over Luke News. We'll definitely be talking about, you know, all of those pieces that we would anyways when it comes to our main topic. This is time for our new segment or newer segment. It's not really new anymore. But we're looking at who's hot and who's not.
Here we go. So who's hot and who's not? Last week was the first time we did this. Robka made the suggestion that we should be looking at. And I actually really like this. Is going to be a really good
It's great
addition to the pool because we've got six new names. And topping the chart on who's hot is everyone's player who we all believe was washed up. And that's Alex Ovechkin with a PR ranking of the last 7 days of 33.64.
It's insane.
5 goals, 1 assist, 13 shots on goals, 13 shots on goal, sorry, and only 4 games, and Ovi is back.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, like, how many goals is he away now? 62 or something?
No, I think he might be within 50, to be honest.
Maybe 48 or something like that. He's so close to Gretzky now. I mean, it's... And at any time that someone mentions that, you know, he may not be able to reach it or he's kind of done or this or that, like he's full value all the time. And he is always full value in the pool. Right. I've had him a number of times. I mean, you know, some seasons obviously are better than others, but that's also like who he has to play with as well. Did you see his little tripping of Kuznetsov on the ice?
I actually didn't see that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he went by and slew-footed him.
Oh, that's good. They must have had a good laugh about that.
Yeah, they did have a good laugh about it. He got tripped him. So anyways, like he doesn't have necessarily the same, supporting cast necessarily, but, with the PR7 of 33.64 and 5 goals in 4 games, without a doubt, he's still one of those elite players here and huge value, right? And this is going to be really interesting, again, coming back to the draft, is that when we're looking at where he falls in the mix, no, he's not going to garner the same amount of bids or the same price as other names that are in the pool, but someone may be able to scoop him for a song. And I think that manager will be all the better for that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go on the opposite end of the kind of NHL experience. We've got Ovi, who is super experienced now. Stanley Cup, has been in the league for almost a couple of decades. And then we got Seth Jarvis, who we talked about a few episodes ago when we were looking at kind of our up and comer young guns. Seth Jarvis is our second hottest player of the week. 28.90 is his PR7, 5 goals and going plus 10 for the week. I think Doug needs to give, I think he's on Doug's team. Doug needs to give some strong consideration to keeping this guy.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And when you're plus 10 in a week, those are the players that win that category for you for sure. Five goals doesn't help hurt at all. But this is a player, I mean, that, you know, I wouldn't say has ups and downs or whatnot, but it's really seemingly to come into his own. So this is definitely a consideration for Doug for keeper. This is keeper material for sure. The next one, you know, obviously is a shocker. No, this is again one of those players that you know managers want on their squad, and that's Sebastian Aho.
So I'm just checking Daily Faceoff here. I'm assuming that maybe the two of them line up together. So if they do, that bodes very well for Carolina's future, because Aho had a great week as well. Similar-ish stats,
yeah.
3 goals, 5 assists, and also going plus 10 for the week. You know, Aho is just he's been such a good fantasy player for a while, but not a sexy one that a lot of people talk about. He's just a super reliable guy to have in the pool.
Yeah, and there's those occasions. He's one of those players, as you know, is very consistent, but there are nights that he really has breakout nights as well, right? Or breakout weeks. And as we're seeing here with another plus 10 and 5 assists, those are players that you know, win categories for you. So it's essential to have that type of a player, okay, and that's why managers want him.
So listen to this, because just off of the charts, at number 4, number 5 was Jake Guentzel, and Carolina's new number 1 top line is Sebastian Aho at center, Jake Guentzel left wing, Seth Jarvis at right wing. So there's your answer. You know, 3 of the 4 hottest guys in the league are Carolina's top line.
Yeah, so I mean, when you get back to Doug here and looking at consideration for a keeper, I think that's a no-brainer. I don't think you would want to let that player go back into the draft in any way. So listen, like, we got to flip from who's hot to who's not, because we have 3 names here. I don't know if you're seeing any surprises here, but we're going to start with Mike Matheson. 5.67. I see
1 surprise.
Here. Yep. Yeah, go ahead. In 3 games, 0 points, minus 5 in only 4 shots.
Yeah, so really, for someone who's in a top 4 defensive situation, even if your team's not that good, that is really not a good week for Mike Matheson. And very similarly, on the other side of Canada, Filip Hronek, minus
5. Yep. Oh, I may have lost
one of the key defensive or offensive defensemen for Vancouver. Just did not have a good week in the pool. But the last guy is the one who really surprises me.
Yeah, Vladimir Tarasenko, 5 point, minus 5.15 PR7 in 2 games, no points, minus 5 and 3 shots on goal. That one does. That's a surpriser here, right? Like, again, not expecting to see him on the who's not list for sure. So I share that with you. A bit of a shocker to see. Well, I'm a bit of a shocker to see Hronek too, to be honest with you, but Tarasenko is a bit more of a surprise for me.
So I would have expected and not been surprised to see him if he was playing for Ottawa still, but he is now playing for arguably the best team in the East in Florida, who is stacked. You know, their top 3 lines are stacked with talent, so he should be racking up the points right now. And maybe he just hasn't found the chemistry with the right player yet. I don't know, but doesn't make me feel bad, because Ottawa got virtually nothing from Florida. So I hope he continues to be on the not hot list.
Yeah, I don't know if it comes back to, I don't follow Florida too closely. I mean, their last 10, they're 5-4-1, and you know, they have an overtime victory in that too. So. I would have to kind of take a deeper dive and look at the breakdown of you know, the scoring in those games. So I you know, they're struggling a little bit when it comes to that, but definitely doesn't explain why a player of that caliber is on who's not hot list. So
all right, so there it is. Ovi, Jarvis, and Aho are your hot players for the last 7 days. Matheson, Hronek, and Tarasenko are not so hot for their teams. Hopefully we see 6 new players next week. On to winners and losers.
Yeah, absolutely. So here we are, folks, week 19. It's been a wacky week for sure. We've seen lots of movement, I would think, by a lot of teams. This is the time of year where things are jumping up and down a bit. Managers are starting to play spoilers a little bit and peeling away points, and we'll talk about that in just a bit when we get to our main topic. But let's start with losers this week. And our third biggest loser, just hasn't been his year, is the great Heisenberg. We may have to take that great moniker away from him and just call him the Heisenberg right now, because he's sitting at 69.5 points and he's down again 3.5 points this week. So if we remember last week, he was sitting at seventh place, 73 points, but now he's down to eighth at 69.5. Not a huge fall, but enough just to further that sting, right?
I'm actually wondering if Blair is even bothering to set his lineup anymore, or is he just like, screw it, bye. I think, so this is what I think happened with Blair, if we can do a little sidebar here.
Yep.
If you recall, Blair's son and Holdsey's son had that miraculous, glorious tournament win. Their kids play in the Rogue Hockey League.
Yeah.
And they had that glorious tournament win in Cleveland?
Yeah, that's right.
And I think both of them just haven't come down from the high of winning that, you know, Holdsey's celebration, now a famous celebration, arms in the air, fist pumping, screaming. Blair somehow, as a parent, finding his way onto the ice as well to celebrate his large victory. And I think they both have a post-Rogue Hockey League hangover right now. And that's happened to
I would agree. Yeah, I do like how you mentioned that it was his victory, because that's how it kind of looked like in the video. So listen, the more interesting piece out of this, to be honest with you, is the chase between the race between the two of them, between these two coaches, Holdsey and Blair. There's only a 2-point separation here, and when Holdsey's in his rookie year, could he have one of the strongest rookie year finishes in Luke history, and wouldn't it be something if he is able to accomplish that, and in doing so also beats Blair in points? So that would be something.
If he does, I would say he should change his name to the Great South Stars. If he moves ahead of Heisenberg,
yeah,
they should make a bet who gets to keep the word great.
Yes,
depending on who finishes ahead.
You know, we're on the same wavelength with this, and I think we're going to make that bet for them. So, if Holdsey beats Blair in points, he gets the great moniker. So he gets the Great South. He'll be great South Stars. And then Heisenberg is just Heisenberg. So, that bet is on, we'll see how things finish off. So should be good.
I like this. All right. Our next biggest loser, man, has lost 9 points in the last week now, but still, made an ad drop this morning, and that's Aiden Helmer. I think Aiden Helmer might be the greatest and most active 12th place manager in league history.
Yeah, I think so.
He's playing like he's in second place going for first.
That's right. I used to when, because I've been, many, many years down at the bottom, and it's always fun to be down there. You can be trading this and that, but I don't think we've seen the same level of FA pickups or trades as we have we've seen this year from Gibby. He's having a lot of fun down there and playing a bit of a disruptor. Yes, he's flipping back and forth with Bowlby, and he's done so again this week, and it seems like that's their perpetual dance right now, and most likely it'll be to the end of the season. He's only 1.5 points behind Bowlby. Bowlby went up 2.5 this week, but listen, he's playing that disruptor card, and he's the trades that he has done and the pickups that he is doing. Listen, it's going to have an impact on those that are sitting in the winner's circle this week, but also those that are sitting in the top four, which we'll talk about.
He's like the Chicago Blackhawks of the pool. Like, he's like, I'm sucking, and I deliberately suck right now, but I got a couple of prospects, just to let you know, named Jeremy Swayman and Jack Hughes. So don't worry about this year. I'll have
don't
my
worry
fun.
About Gibby. Gibby yeah, will be. Right. And I think he's learned a lot, as you said in the last episode. I think he's learned a lot about the heavy bids on superstars. So we'll see if he does that come draft time, and see if other managers take notice of what's happened to Gibby's season here as well because of that. Maybe we'll see. Listen, let's switch our gears to winners and start with the third biggest.
We have to talk about. Wait, you can't just brush over Warham like that. Salt Lake Sandpipers was our.
Oh, sorry, I forgot about. We're 30 minutes in. We're 30 minutes in, and I forgot about our biggest loser of the week. My goodness, it is. It's Robbie Warham and the Salt Lake Sandpipers.
We talked about the curse last week from the fine people of Utah, and it continues going -6 for the week. Now he's at 60 points. He could be in the 50s next week at this rate. So
I wonder if this will be his lowest finish of all time. I have to look at it. Like I don't remember him being down this far in the table before. So
I know he's been eighth-ish somewhere around.
Yeah, eighth-ish. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We'll have to wait for that fantastic season-ending video that ESPN Kelsey puts together for us.
Montage.
The PowerPoint montage. Yeah.
Mine was great last year, by the way.
No doubt.
I still periodically play it.
Do you ever play it at school, like before an assembly?
Yeah, I do. I put it on the announcement sometime. Just have the music, soft music going in the background while I tell everybody to make sure that they, use the trash cans and don't vape in the washrooms, kind of message. Yeah.
All right. And as spring is here, as you're going, make sure you're not getting your feet too dirty and bringing those dirty shoes back. Those types of announcements.
Yeah. That's more so for the other side of the school, right? So we've got nice signs on the doors. It's just clean shoes only kind of signs. But
we do this podcast to get away from work, but I do enjoy some of the roles that your job entails, which really aligns with someone who has a four-year university degree plus an extra year of university to get a teaching degree. And then in your case, a couple of masters, that you have to say things like, we've had some unexpected snow. Let's be sure not to be throwing snowballs at each other for safety.
Yeah. Snow stays on the ground. Yeah. Yeah.
Snow stays on the ground. That was a course in your fourth year, wasn't it?
Snow? Yeah, it was
where should snow go? 101.
It was a graduate degree course that I took. I did really well in that one. Not so well with the tracking of mud into rooms. I dropped the ball on that one.
And then we graduated so long ago that there was no vaping in bathroom.
No.
Course, it was smoking in the boys' room. Yeah. Course 101.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I'm having to upgrade.
Okay, let's get into our winners here. And interesting, positions 4, 5, and 6 are the managers who are in the winner's side this week.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a real interesting week here. And it's definitely a real interesting week, couple of weeks for you, and we'll get to that in a second. But our third biggest winner here is PMF. And this guy's been on. I if there's been any manager, I think, that has been dominating the conversation in the league over the last couple of weeks, it's been PMF. Usually he's kind of quiet, and I think he has been the manager of conversation for at least 2 weeks, and here we have it again. Second week in a row, he's on the winner's side. Last week, if we remember, it was a 4.5-point jump. This week, it's another 4-point jump. The guy is still at sixth place, 88.5 points. So now he is just on a lovely run right here at the end of this season. And he is the manager, I think, that's dominating the conversation. So,
I think so. He admittedly had a pretty quiet year this year, and one that I think, people had hoped he was a little more active in terms of interactions for trades and stuff. But I mean, he's waiting for a kid. I think really the birth of his son has been a turning point in the pool for him. I think that's why he actually decided to have a second child.
Yeah.
He knew that would spur him. First of all, he's got no sleep. And when you have no sleep, so he's not sleeping at all. So why not make trades? I mean, if we didn't have a trade deadline, I'm sure he would have made another 6 trades this week, because there's nothing else to do when you're awake 24/7. Plus, you're a little bit delirious. You're a little bit.
Yeah.
Wait, this makes. Did Mike have a kid recently? Because he made that trade with you. Maybe. That makes sense. I gotta check in with Mike. He'd be an old dad.
Yeah, give him a text. Send congratulations. You know what?
Rod Stewart is 75, just had a kid. You're like, what are you doing?
I know. Is Rod Stewart. So Keith Richard. No, not Keith Richard. Somebody. No. I don't know. One of something like that. But listen, just send Mike. Just says congratulations. So proud of you. Or just congratulations. Way to go. Or great yep. addition to the family or something. I don't know.
He had his own little Holdsy moment, though. He sent me a picture. They won a volleyball. His son won a volleyball tournament, which is great. But there's there seems to be a lot of celeb. We have really high achieving children by the looks of it.
Yeah, yeah. I wait. They're going to be way more successful than any of their
all parents. Of us it's combined.
Just, yeah, yeah, like absolutely, yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, listen, you and I actually take the number 2 and 1 spot. You went up 5.5. I went up 7. I think this is pre-deadline trades. I have somehow scored Pasternak and McKinnon. What's really interesting, and I didn't know this. I don't know if you knew this. I certainly forgot it this year. But if you have good players on your team, you tend to do better in the pool.
It's remarkable. And so I think this is, again, why it explains that you are the biggest winner for 2 weeks in a row. 4.5 last week, if we remember, and again, another 7 here. So you've been on the biggest tear for sure. What that means is that the top three managers, Robka, Nick, and Mike, all had a drop this past week of 2.5 points. Those points are coming from someplace, right? And largely, I would think that you're playing the role of the biggest disruptor. For sure, with your trades, but you are so correct. Having good players on your team, as Nick said, name brand players, having name brand players on your team, and not getting the no name, yellow label players, makes a big difference.
Yeah. And by the way, let's just say this right now. No Name is not a sponsor of ours right now. There's no way I'm letting Galen Wesson anywhere close to this. I would actually love to have him in this pool. That little rat. I would love to say, hey, Galen, you want to come in to our pool and then just kick him out? Like, hopefully he's winning. Like, if he's winning, then I would just ban him to take
just
that.
Ban him at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Although we could, instead of points, we could have optimum points.
Oh, that would be okay.
Yep. No, it wouldn't. It's stupid. That was actually the dumbest thing I've said in 106 episodes.
You said actually, I think this. I think we just can convert. We could convert the prize or the winnings to optimum points. Instead of winning like $300, you win like 200 optimum points. Or you win like,
20 times the points.
Yeah, 20 times the points. And like,
if we did that, Gibby could win the pool.
Gibby could win
20 times the points. So Gibby goes +7 on the week. That's plus 14. There you go. You're in eighth place.
And he's heading right to his local Loblaws and cashing that in for, craft dinner or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know. Something stupid. Okay. That was definitely the dumbest end to winners and losers we've ever had. Let's get on to the main topic here.
Yeah, here we go. This is the main topic of episode 106, the contenders. I'm gonna let you do the rundown here, but it's a timely topic here. And not only does it focuses on really the top four managers that are in contention for money, but I mean, we're going to be mentioning other managers here too when we do a little bit of a deep dive, and those specifically, as you said, that are going to be playing the role of disruptor. And the role of disruptor is actually a fun one too. So let's not forget that when we work through this.
So here's what I propose, Brent. I'm so for those not in the know, like, we kind of have, it's not really a script, but we plan out what we are going to talk about, and we have some data. We don't just pull this data off the top of our heads, even though it sounds like it. We actually do some planning. But I propose I kind of run through each manager's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities. And then, do you have the league page up on your computer?
Sure do.
So maybe we can do a little bit of sorting there to look through and kind of outline maybe some of the managers here that could really spoil any one of our four contenders' chances to win money. So we're going to start with Zoltok. Current points, 126.5. We did, in terms of strengths, if your team scores a 12 or an 11 in a category, we're saying that is your strength and you're kind of rock solid there. For Rob,
he's got a lot of 12s. Holy smokes, this guy's got a lot of 12s.
So that's a big shopping list for him. Assists, points, plus, minus, power play, and shorthanded points, game-winning goals, wins. Those are areas of real strength. On the opposite end, and really, we'll call them weaknesses, but he's still doing quite well in these categories. Brent, what are they?
Yeah, so the so-called weaknesses, but again, they're not really our goals, power play goal, shots on goal, shutouts, goals against, and save percentages. So he's got some goalie issues, but we all know that he's made his deals for that. But still, things are very close here. So, you know, when we're moving to opportunistic categories here, my goodness, things are close for this manager. And so, you know, which kind of really puts into picture why he didn't do a trade deadline day deal. So, because things are this close. So I think he's wanting to play things out. So what are some of these categories?
Yeah. So for goals and wins, as we'll see in a moment, you and him are really in a battle there. In terms of points, him and Nick are in a battle. He's got an opportunity to make a huge jump in power play goals and shutouts as well. And goals against save percentage, Mike is a key player here. On the other end, on the vulnerable categories, Nick is chasing him in assists, power play points, game-winning goals. So, you know, we've got a lot of categories where a lot of the contenders are close. So in terms of what does this mean overall for Robka?
Well, I mean, this is where Nick, in my conversations with Nick, again, like as I said before, I try to avoid him, but he does come in the mornings, some mornings, you know, really happy and skipping down the hall, and these are the reasons why, and he knows this, that how close things are with some of these categories and how things could jump for him pretty quickly. So he's, you know, this is where we're seeing the vulnerability of Robka. So this is, you know, we noted, you know, earlier on in the season, you know, the idea that really we thought this guy was untouchable. But because of the deals Nick has done along the way, and really because of, you know, these vulnerable categories, assists, power play points, game winning goals, this is, you know, he's kind of set himself up here. Nick is more so set, and we'll get to Nick in a minute, but set himself up here to really kind of catch him here. But really, you know, it's not all doom and gloom for this manager here. It's not all doom and gloom for Robka at all. He has watched his lead, you know, completely evaporate over the last couple of weeks, but he's still in a real position of strength, I think.
I believe so as well, and we'll talk about Nick in just a moment, but what I find really interesting and what will get exciting, and I know from previous years, you know, a lot of managers are kind of tuning out the standings and checking every day and seeing there in whatever place, but if you're not in the money, you're not as invested in the top three, top four race, but people tend to tune back in the last couple of weeks because they've spent their entire season playing this fantasy pool, and in the final days, it's super cool to watch these battles happen. And for me, the fact that Nick and Robka are actually battling it out in some categories, and it could come down to those categories in the final day, and throw in Mike and yourself as well as the other contenders, I think it's going to make for, I'm hoping, one of the most fascinating finishes in league history.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, for sure, it's going to be really exciting. And you know, one piece that's, you know, or one manager that's definitely adding to that excitement is Nick in a box. He's been full value this season. He's been, you know, really a perennial contender for most of the season here. And with his deals at the just before trade deadline, he's really shown that he is all in for sure. Doesn't really have a whole lot of keepers as a result, though he picked up Byfield. That was an interesting drop. And I think that really gave Nick something to at least build around for the following year. But this guy's all in, and his strengths are amazing as well. Like lots of 11s, doesn't necessarily have the 12s in apart from shots on goal. But listen, he is so close in other areas. So we have strengths right now. Okay, he's sitting at 122.5 points, but his strengths. Again, these are scores of 12 or 11, so more 11s here. Assists, points, power play points, game-winning goals, and shots on goal.
Those are big categories for sure. Those are big categories. So as of this morning, when we're shooting this, he's 4 points behind Robka. Last week, he was ahead of Robka. So we can see that there's a lot of volatility in these ones, but his strengths certainly are big skater categories. His weaknesses on the other end, a couple of skater categories and power play goals and shorthanded points. Not surprisingly, his wins, goals against, and save percentage are areas of weakness. And we had talked about that. You know, we couldn't stop talking about Nick and Mike and their goalies and how to improve that. He's done that through trades, but that continues to be a weakness. but also an area of opportunity for him. So in terms, if we go over to opportunities, you know, out of nowhere, Gump, Cutlass Supremes show up.
Amazing. Goals. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like he's had such a, well, you know, he's had an oak. He's moved up to 72 points.
Seventh position. Yeah.
He's not finishing 12th, which in texting with him, he was so sick of finishing 12th. So he's moving into this kind of mid category and making this push to hopefully get, you know, 80 points or above for the year. But his goals are incredible. And Nick is kind of close to Mike and him in that area. So that's an opportunity. In terms of other opportunity areas, what do you see?
Well, like, you know, we talked about the goals here, and the next piece here is assists, power play points, and game-winning goals. These are all major categories that he is close with Zoltok, with Robka. So these are the ones that are what we're calling key battleground categories where, you know, we're going to see a lot of movement here, game in, game out, until the end of the season. And it's going to be really interesting to see if Nick can make some key jumps in these particular categories for sure.
So, and then if we look at the battle right now between second and third, we've been focused so much on whether Nick or Robka will finish first. Well, there's some opportunities here, but also some vulnerabilities in the plus minus and power play goal area, because that's where Nick and Mike are kind of battling out neck and neck. And that's where Nick can either create some separation or Mike can close the gap for second place in that category. And then add shorthanded points. Mike's within, Nick is within range there of Mike. And then South Stars can play a bit of a spoiler role for shorthanded points.
Yeah, power play goals is going to be one of the most interesting categories to watch until the end of the season for sure. I look at, you know, I've got a 20-point lead on Mike to lead that category, and we'll talk about that being one of my strengths in a minute. But we've got a three-manager tie here, which involves Nick in that particular category. That's you, and that's Heisenberg, and Gump's in the mix here too. He's only one goal off of being a four-way tie. So, you know, we look at some really interesting categories. It's that power for me, for Nick, it's that power play goal category for sure.
So for me, I see wins and shutouts as a huge category opportunity because he's picked up really good goalies.
Yeah.
So he could make a huge jump, but again, could be a vulnerable area. And then in terms of, you know, real vulnerabilities, if Robka can catch him in points, that's a battle that we need to watch out for as well. So wrapping up Nick's kind of area here, really a meteoric rise in the past few weeks, and it's been very exciting, most certainly for Nick, but also for everyone in the pool to see that there is a competition now happening. He's within range of his first ever Keith Primo Cup. Robka has to be nervous with how the gap has closed, but also, you know, is this a case of maybe Nick peaking a little bit too early? Like, has he peaked in his categories, or does he have a legitimate chance of continuing that momentum as we close up the season? So very exciting here to see what spot Nick is in.
Yeah. And it really comes down for, I think, you know, one and two have been determined by, you know, these managers. It's where they fall and in what position we'll have to wait and see, but it really, really first and second place is going to be one of these, you know, they're going to be these managers in a particular, not in any particular order right now. But when we look at, you know, the trades that have been done, the question always comes down to, was there enough runway left, right, in order to see the benefits of making those deals? And that's going to be something for time to tell, you know. And it always comes down to, you know, those other things that you can't really plan for, if there's injuries or anything else that comes along that could jeopardize a manager getting the Keith Primo Cup. It's the hardest trophy to win in fantasy sports, and
in all of sports, actually.
In all sports, yeah, it's a tough one. So listen. Let's get to Mike here. And Mike is currently at 111 points. It's been in third place for a long time now, right? And really, you know, there was that time where Nick and him were trading places here, being what, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. Is that right? That's right.
That's the reference there. That all of the kids, all of the young demographic listeners, the Zoom, are they called Zoomers? Gen Z?
Yeah, I think so.
That they any reference to trading places, they're totally into it.
Yeah. So
trading places and mocktails.
And mocktails.
Sober curious.
There we go. Yeah. Sober curious. Oh, I don't even know where I left off. So listen, yeah, Mike is at 110 points, been in third for a while now. He's got some significant strengths in his squad as well. So when we look at, I was in the pool, a lot of 11s, you know, he's been chasing those elusive 12s, and that's been the challenge, I think, for a good chunk of his season is just watching some of those points peel away and not being able to get those 12s. But he's got some serious strengths as well in those plus minus power play goals and shots on goal.
Yeah, I was just kind of skipping ahead to you here, and we need to update that one category. I'll do that in just a sec. But yeah, Mike's got four categories he's really strong in. He's got a slew of categories that he could be better in: assists, power play points, shorthanded points, game winning goals, and then obviously wins, shutouts, goals against, save percentages, an area that he needs to really improve on. We can look at that not as, just a vulnerability. We can look at it as a huge opportunity. And when we get to our conclusion on Mike, it's going to be a really interesting one, I think. So in terms of his opportunities, only a couple of goals away from Gump right now. So
yeah, you know, 6 goals away.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you want to take us through 4 categories that are really quite interesting. And I didn't even realize this till we did the research last night. Him and I are primary rivals in these categories.
Yeah, so let's take a look at some other opportunistic categories. Is assists, power play points, shorthanded points, and game-winning goals. Lots of points up here for grabs. But the interesting piece here is, as you mentioned, his primary rival is you, which I love to see. So there's a tie in assists at 422 as well. And, you know, really, you know, there's a 50-point division there between him and the two of you guys with Nick, right? So so that's that, you know, that at this point in the season, that's just a bit of a stretch, but the real battleground is between you guys fighting that one out. I'm only 6 assists away, but really I think the one to watch is that assist. When we get to the power play points, you know, it's something very similar as well. You guys are tied again for power play points at 204. So this, when we look at winners and losers again, and when we look at your jumps over the past 2 weeks, you know, a lot of your success has been, you know, in these key categories, and shorthanded points is another one. You guys are tied at 12. This is really unheard of. And then when we get to game winning goals, and finally, we're looking at, let's see here, a little bit more of a division, but a tie with me here, in game winning goals. You're a bit farther down, but really, when we look at 3 of those 4 opportunistic categories, assist, power play points, and shorthanded points, he's in a battle with you. And this is where you're going to play, even though you're not in, you know, you could be, you never know. Not really necessarily the top 4 in the conversation for money at the moment, but you've got to be one of those top managers that is playing spoiler here for sure.
Well, I think where Mike needs to be concerned is I now have MacKinnon and Pasternak. I was looking at my team. I was like, oh, I looked at the last 30 days. I'm like, oh, these are pretty good players. Not bad. You know, 15 points in 14 games. And then Nathan MacKinnon, 26 points.
Yeah.
He's incredible. So I've got MacKinnon and Pasternak. And in those categories, these are the types of players that get those points. Let's go over to the vulnerabilities now.
Yeah, well, and this is just a dovetail on that. And this is where, again, you know, that trade with Meek, and, you know, you've got MacKinnon and Pasternak, and I got Matthews and McDavid. Now, I'm not talking about me at this particular moment, but what I'm talking about is Mike doesn't have them anymore, right? So he doesn't necessarily have a 1-2 punch that can counteract your top 2 players. So it's definitely going to be an interesting end to the season here and run with those 3 particular categories. I don't think we've ever seen 3 that are that close. There's so many ties happening right now. And I think this is why we're really talking about the contenders here and breaking things down by category, because, while we see division and points here between the top 4, things are closer than they actually appear. It's like looking in the rearview mirror and you see that message.
Well, and when we're talking about vulnerable categories, when you're talking about Nick and Mike, goals for Mike right now, he's got to watch out because Nick is closing in. And then it's the goalie categories. Like with Nick, we've said it before, you know, he could really see a fall or really a stall at very best if he doesn't start to compete stronger in the goalie category. So,
well, and that's that win category. Take a look at that win category and who's ahead and who's chasing, right? That's Nick and Nick and Mike again, right? Mike's ahead of Nick by one win here. It's going to be very interesting in terms of that category as well.
I'm only
a tie by you, and you're in the mix. Yeah.
I could really spoil Mike's ability to win money this year, and I would feel horrible if I were to beat him in all of these battle state categories. I would just feel terrible for Mike. All right, so listen, this is what, in conclusion for Mike, I think that this is the most entertaining manager to watch in the final weeks because he has
usually so many categories. The most entertaining manager to watch most of the time to begin with, right? He's full value. He's all in. He loves to trade. He loves to he just loves his pool, and he's been a phenomenal addition over the last, you know, number of years here. But you are 100% right. He's in the most interesting spot for sure.
So he's someone who could make a run and, you know, challenge Nick and possibly Robin for first place, or he could tumble horribly, maybe even out of not third place, but maybe all the way down to fifth. So for me, in terms of value and entertainment, I'm watching the standings first and foremost for my team, but then I'm looking at where Mike is for the rest of the pool, because I really think it's going to be entertaining to see what happens with his team.
Yeah, absolutely. So many categories he's tied or shared with you, and then others that he's leading. But the margins are very narrow. He's definitely one of the most exciting managers for sure to watch. We'll see how things play out for him. It's going to be going to be a nail biter for sure.
Let's bring it home to you. So a few weeks ago, we would not have included you. This would have just been the top three. But you've made several trades that have strengthened your team. Right now you sit only 5.5 points outside of third, so it has to be super exciting for you, really. And the picture looks really good for you because your strength categories, you only have a couple, which means you have a lot of categories you can improve in. So your power play goals and wins are your strengths, but your goals plus minus shots on goals, shutout, save percentage are your weaknesses, where you can make some pretty big gains.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I traded away my goalies, and I've known that. And then, you know, that shutout last night, didn't hurt it at all. Like I had a nice little jump from there. But listen, you know, when I look at my strengths, my power play goals, I'm a solid 12 in that category. The closest manager is Mike. He's 20 power play goals away. Probably not going to catch me in that particular category, right? You know, the race, as we mentioned before, is the three-way tie between you, Nick, and Blair on that, and really Gump's in the conversation, and there's only three power play goals separating those three managers and Mike. So that's the more interesting race, I think, for sure. Wins, you know, I've had, despite my goalie strategy, I have a solid 12 in that category, but you know, I'm only two wins up on Robka. Robka's made his goalie trades as well, so that's going to be an interesting category. That's where I can fall. Is a strength for sure for me. My goalies have been okay throughout the season, but I would also count that one as one of my weaknesses. Now, I've got other weaknesses that you probably want to run down.
Well, I'm surprised to see some of your weaknesses are kind of in the goalie categories, and I'm interested in seeing where that's going to go. So that's the battle I'm watching. So, you know, goals plus minus shots on goals, obviously, but your shutouts and your save percentage is really an area, as we get to the vulnerabilities in your pool, I'll want to talk about that. But let's get into opportunities here. You know, goals, assists, you have Austin Matthews, you have Connor McDavid. So you can hurt Robka in the goals, and then you could, you know, leapfrog both Mike and I in assists just because you have Connor McDavid. Plus minus game winning goals, those categories are really, really chaotic at this point. So this is where you might add a few points or maybe drop a few points.
Yeah, I'm excited about having Drysdale, Matthews, McDavid on my team and all at once. It definitely helps. That game last night was interesting for sure. But listen, I am three goals away from Rodka. You know, and then can I actually make a push for Nick and Mike as well? Maybe it's six away from Nick. So, you know, with those two players, it's a definite possibility, and that, you know, that would help if things are, you know, some of those goals are power play goals as well. That gives me further pads my lead. The plus minus is going to be one that is been a categorical weakness for me. I'm vulnerable for sure when it comes to you. I'm only two out from you, away from you, but if I have a bad night, that can drop, and then Blair can catch me on that. So listen, I made my deals. We'll see how it plays. I made my deals in order to try to get into the money to become the greatest fantasy manager in Luke history, and have that title. And I was actually deciding here, like thinking about this before the show, if I do money this year, maybe I deserve the word great in front of my name, the great Careless Whispers. But my gold star is going to just be sufficient for now, I guess.
You can take that gold star. As a matter of fact, I actually love the fact that you put the gold star beside it. That was good. Okay. So your team, in conclusion, you've acquired Matthews and McDavid. So you are poised to make a run in virtually all of the skater categories. My only question is, do you have enough time to make up the gap between fourth and third? Can you make a dent here? I do believe you can, given how close you are now to third place. I think this is well within range. I think the goalie category is going to be a really fascinating battle to watch for you, and whether you gain or lose there. And there's no question you must be considered a contender for money. I'm not sure that you can make it all the way into the 120s and win it all.
No.
Stranger things have happened, but I do think that it's going to be a very, very cool race to watch you potentially overtake Mike at third place.
Yeah, and what we haven't talked about in any of this is where managers stand in max categories and all of that as well. So that's another layer, folks, that we won't delve into it for this show and this episode, but it has a significant role to play, obviously, with how much runway managers have to have their trades really come to fruition and roll out here. So max categories is always an interesting curveball when it comes to the end of the season, and I know I'm in trouble in some categories, and some other managers are as well, but we'll see how that plays out.
There you go. Podcast 106, The Contenders. Let's see where each of these four managers land a few weeks from now when the season ends.
Love it. Love it. So, hey, what do we have planned for next week? Have we thought about that far enough in advance here?
But I think we're going to do a player-focused main topic next week. Something we haven't talked about yet. I haven't figured it out yet. We'll sort it out. Something to do with our players. This week was very manager-heavy, so let's get back to talking about some players and we'll find some cool category to do for it, or some topic. I mean, that's it.
That's awesome. So folks, that is episode 106, The Contenders. Next week, episode 107. Stay tuned for that, and we'll see you later.
See ya.